Thank you, Dr. Wadi, for the introduction. My name is Xujun Dong again, from Texas A&M AgriLife Research at Uvalde. Today's talk is about root distribution, and it's a representation for the water uptake of plants. Basically, I want to talk about plant roots and its function for water uptake and ways to simulate and model it, and also ways to reinforce and complement that computer simulation with experimental approaches. Roots are important not only for anchoring the plants and also for nutrients, water uptake, but also for the other functions from ecosystem perspectives, such as water infiltration and soil health, and because the existence of roots provide a micro habitat for the various microbes in the soil and the soil animals to harbor and to proliferate and to function, and which help to facilitate the soil nutrient cycling and the soil health. The representation of roots as a nutrient uptake for the plants in a soil environment is actually can be very complicated. Starting with the 1960s and the 70s, there are approaches to model and simulate water uptake of individual roots, considering the geometry of roots and the soil microenvironment. And also this kind of similar approach, and maybe in a more developed state recently is published by several authors. I think this very interesting paper published in 2008 by Roos and Schneif, and they used quite fancy mathematical models to describe the interaction of between roots and soil microbes, and how the water and nutrients diffuse across the soil particles, and with the facilitation of the possibly fungi, hyphae, and also considering the root complex geometries. Honestly speaking, I think this is a highly multidisciplinary adventure. Myself, as a plant physiologist, never tried it. But I admire this approach. I think this represents important future directions which will make a revolution sometime, I'm sure. But it needs a collaboration between mathematicians, computer scientists, and plant biologists. My approach and my more preferred approach for an agronomist and a physiologist is a more simplified one, which also first developed in 1970s, and which focuses on the more empirical aspects of water uptake. So we do not know the details of the root geometry, which is difficult to quantify, although we have new techniques. We don't know those details, but we do know the root distribution and their vitality as a water uptake machine. I'm sorry. This macroscopic water uptake system has been very effective to simulate the general pattern of water flow from the soil to the plants and model their seasonal dynamics. It it can capture not only in the wet situations where the transpiration is mainly controlled and limited by the climatic factors and by the leaf area index, but it also can mimic and simulate the situations where the soil becomes drier, when the roots become a limiting factor for the water uptake. Showing on the left is a picture by a group, I think in California, Dr. Hoffman's and others. This shows a tree, almond tree's water uptake pattern in about 7 days, following a pulse of a drip. You can see the initially with the surface soil dry, initially with the surface soil wet, the surface soil has more contribution to the water uptake. But as soil becomes drier, the uptake becomes deeper. So the deeper layer had more contribution to the water uptake. Showing on the right is a work I did with my co-workers in grassland, which within 40 days, you can see the water use from a 1.6 meter soil profile changed dramatically when between the dry period, which is in July and August, and following a very heavy rain, which occurred in about August 14th in 2009, which is shown here as a solid line. So at first, when soil becomes really dry due to lack of rain, the soil moisture uptake was contributed by the roots located at deeper soil layers. Then follow a heavy rain, the water uptake for the 2 weeks period most primarily concentrated at the top 40 centimeters. This kind of a change of water uptake under different soil dryness is represented and simulated primarily by a root distribution function. Shown here is a work by Qiang Zuo at China Agricultural University. He sampled, he surveyed several hundred, maybe over a thousand of root studies in winter wheat and eventually come up with a general function describing the root distribution, which is shown here on the, actually it's yeah, there are two functions. One is with thin line is a more complex, and the thick line is much simpler and captures the general distribution pattern of the wheat with the soil depth. Very interestingly, this same model, is exactly the same as the one proposed by two Indian scientists in 1996, although the Chinese scientists and Indian scientists approached the problem very differently. So I really like this function. In the work I shown in the previous slide, I used this same function because it's so simple. It only has one parameter, which is alpha in here. It only has one parameter to describe the root distribution. I surveyed the publications of root water uptake in the past 40 years or so. I cannot say this is a very thorough survey. Actually, I checked with my literature, I find that I missed a lot of publications. So starting in the 1970s toward now, there's the number of publications of root water uptake compensation. That means the uptake in varied soil wetness conditions changed somewhat between years. At first, there's a peak in the 1970s due to some very pioneer pioneer researchers who developed this system, especially FEDIS in 1976. Another peak come in 2000. We have more publications from 2000 to 2010. And followed that, it's a drop in publications. So My sense is that that peak in the 2000 and 2010 primarily was the development of the inverse modeling approach. This inverse modeling approach basically uses computer simulation plus very limited observation of soil moisture to inversely estimate the root, root distribution without much experimental data. This has been powerful because root survey is so expensive in labor and in time and in equipment. So this inverse modeling approach, once you have very good soil water distribution measurement, then you can estimate the root distribution without knowing it. So this promoted a lot of publications in various crops. However, it drops. The number of publications drops after that. I suspect there. My personal understanding is that is because there are some limitations in this macroscopic modeling approach. We cannot rely on it to do a lot of things it cannot do. It has strong empiricism in it. It does not just describe accurately important mechanisms which helps plants to transport and to absorb water. Due to this kind of lack of mechanisms, the continuous use of this approach alone is difficult. So we need something else. We need more measurement. We need more measurement to more accurately characterize the various the heterogeneous environment in the field. And we also we need more controlled experiments, which can tell us when and under what situation the model can go wrong, how it go wrong, how to improve it. One thing here's a picture showing how variable in the field. This picture was taken by my visiting scholar Jian Tushi 2 days ago in Uvalde of Texas. Within about 500 meters in the field in southwest Texas, the soil type changed greatly from clay loam to clay. And also, we can see the soil layer changed a lot. In the bottom of the soil profile, there's what we call clay layer, there's a calcic layer, which mostly prevents roots from penetrating. This clay layer changed from 80 centimeters to 106 centimeters within a 50 meter distance. So wide change in the clay layer, that provides a lot of difficulties for us to quantify the field root behavior. It's like showing here, this picture, I surveyed 15 varieties of winter wheat in last year. And I tried to measure their root distribution every 20 centimeter segments down to 120 centimeters or deeper toward the clay layer. And I find it's extremely difficult to differentiate between the 15 varieties. I also used the same model I previously shown by Indians and the Chinese scientists to delineate the root distribution function. With this function, where the alpha, when parameter alpha equals 2, it's a linear distribution. The root vertical distribution just linearly from the surface of the soil down to the deep profile. When alpha larger than 2, it's a kind of this kind of distribution. More roots displayed on the surface. When alpha is less than 2, we have more roots on the bottom of the profile. It's very interesting. The black line here is the same line from my Chinese colleagues. This simulated based on more than about 600 data points in China. But now these colored lines are the data from Uvalde of Texas. Looks like it's very interesting. My data is more. We have more. More roots on the lower profile than them. We still don't know why, but this is a phenomenon. Our data is our soil. Our roots focus concentrate more on the lower horizon. There, the Chinese roots. Although this is the same crop, winter wheat. But it's very interesting here, although statistically speaking, I think I cannot differentiate between the varieties. But we can see from this ranking, so the ranking of these 15 varieties, the alpha parameter goes from big to the largest, from the largest to the smallest. So we can see some varieties like Armor and Santa Fe, their roots are predominantly on the top profile. But some roots, when you go to lower, go to 10, 3, or 4, the roots more lower in the soil profile. This is this should be very interesting for further studies. So we really need some phenotyping tools. Some tools such as mini resolution is very, very useful, but it's, at the same time, I don't have people to do it for me. It's expensive to hire students here in my lab. We did some measurements, but it's very expensive. So there's some currently we're looking for a new tool like a ground penetrating radar, which can use to quantify the field scale three-dimensional distribution. I think this can help us to get more information from the field and quantify the root distribution and help us to study the root function. Another direction I mentioned earlier is we need, in order to overcome the shortcoming of that microscopic modeling approach, we need more elaborate controlled study to see where the model goes wrong. So this is an example of my visiting scholar Jian Chushi's work. So this shows he developed a soil column experiment setting from which he can control the soil wetness. He can either use a traditional watering approach from the top to make the soil upper horizon wetter, or he can use a kind of simulate a water table to provide water from the bottom to have the bottom soil wetter than the upper soil. This way, with non-soil water wetness distribution, we can more accurately study the root behavior. So here, this is a result here he published in a journal in Agricultural Water Management recently. One thing very interesting to me is that from this result, he shows that his soil column study provide evidence where his simulation model did go wrong. He used the same macroscopic root water uptake to simulate his winter wheat water use over about 2 months. At the same time, he measured transpiration every day. So it's very interesting. Look at here at these two right hand side figures. With that, we can see that from the experimental measurements, first I should mention this experiment. So they give a drought and well watered treatment. So the water treatment is given every 6 days. So when for example here, when the water is given, the plant recovers, their transpiration recovers to the top. Then without further water, transpiration reduces. Then in the next event, when the water irrigated, transpiration increased again, and so forth, so on. So it's interesting. From measured data, we can see the transpiration recovery after a drought responded daily, slowly, but in a daily scale to a peak after 1 to 3 days or so. However, simulated results shows that after 1 day of application of water, immediately transpiration jumped to the very top. So the simulation model missed some important wave details measured by the experiments. The main reason is that this macroscopic modeling approach is very rough in the mechanisms. However, we can see from these two right-hand side figures that the model still captures the major trend of the water use pattern. However, because of that rapid jump following water recovery, it slightly overestimated the transpiration. So this is my this is the conclusion. So we have trade-offs. So in order to capture detailed mechanism of the soil and the microbial and the root interactions, we need a very fancy and very complicated mathematics to do that. But that again need a lot of labor, of experiment and equipment to parameterize them. On the other hand, the simplified macroscopic approach is very easy to use in the field conditions, but it missed some important mechanisms, which can be complement with some experiments, and especially with some controlled experiments in the lab situations, and also with some more accurate phenotyping of the root and soil characteristics, which is occur frequently in the field situations. I think this is my talk. If you have questions, you're welcome.